TED Audio Collective.
Do you still think that Bernie stans are pieces of shit?
No.
Okay.
No. I think that there are certain individuals who probably need to cool it. but calling people pieces of shit is, you know, not a fair assessment.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
I'm Dylan Marin, and welcome back to Conversations with People Who Hate Me, the show where I take contentious online disagreements and move them onto a phone call. Sometimes I speak solo to my own detractors, and other times I moderate between guests. Today, I'm doing the latter. Now, if you've been at all keeping up, even casually, with American political news, you'll know that there's a Democratic presidential primary going on. Two of the frontrunners are Elizabeth Warren, a senator from Massachusetts, and Bernie Sanders, a senator from Vermont. Both candidates run on largely progressive, left-leaning promises, and from the outside, they seem pretty similar. Now, if you don't live in the United States, or you do, and you're listening to this in the near or distant future, but the relentless news cycle has completely washed away your memory of this time, that's okay, because this story is, unfortunately, timeless and universal. Two politically similar candidates run against each other, and their competition plays out more fiercely among their respective supporters. This, of course, translates into online fights, vicious verbal exchanges between people who are nearly ideologically identical to each other. From afar, I get it, this can be very confusing, but this show is all about getting closer, taking a big story and zooming in to just two people who, as always, can only speak for themselves. Today, I'm moderating a call between a Warren supporter and a Bernie supporter who got into a heated altercation on Twitter. Kate Willett is a stand-up comedian who has a political feminist comedy podcast called Reply Guys. These days, she's a vocal Bernie supporter and uses her platform to make political jokes, many in support of her candidate of choice and some against his opponents, like this one. Back in November, Kate tweeted, "I relate to Elizabeth Warren because when I say I have a plan for that, I also mean that I will think about doing it in 3 years." So this tweet really took off, and as of this recording, it has 22,000 likes and 2,800 retweets. But someone who didn't like it, both literally and emotionally, is Steph, a woman who, as you'll soon hear, was actually a longtime fan and follower of Kate's. Steph responded, "Ugh. Why is it that Bernie stans can't stop themselves from being pieces of shit?" And it then got messier. Kate retweeted Steph's tweet, and because Kate has a large following, a lot of people responded, and then those people started going through Steph's timeline and responding to older tweets of hers. You know the story. But Kate and Steph are here on this show today. It's easy to look at a conflict, especially one that involves two people who share so many core values, and just assume that everyone is overreacting. Maybe you are a left-leaning progressive who is tuning in because you've gotten into one of these fights yourself. Or maybe you hate these fights, can't imagine who's behind it, and you've come here to figure that out. Perhaps you're a conservative listener and you are just so eager to hear more proof of the quote-unquote left tearing itself apart. Whatever brought you to this episode today, welcome. We're happy to have you. And if this show has taught us anything, it's that there is always a story hidden somewhere beneath the surface of online vitriol. And it's this show's job to find it. First, I'm going to get to know Kate, then Steph, and then I'll connect them to each other. Before we begin, a quick content warning. In today's episode, there is a mention of suicide. If that's not something you should be hearing right now, don't worry, turn this podcast off and go have a great day. All right, with that being said, let's get started. Here is Kate. Shall we jump right into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Kate, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. We're doing a podcast.
I know. I'm so excited.
Let's kind of make this more personal for a moment. Tell me about you.
Okay. So I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm a feminist.
When did you kind of start honing your comedy voice?
So it's funny. Like, I think when I started comedy, I was writing a lot about like sleeping with like crappy guys, which mm-hmm. was like the problem that I was having at the time. Mm-hmm. It was, can I be gross on this podcast?
Please.
Yeah. I mean, there was a time in my life where like the truly worst thing in my life was that there were some bad people who had cool dicks. Yeah. And I was so upset about this, you know, like it was just
bad people with cool dicks.
I was really, really, really
this
upset.
This is amazing.
But you know, I think now I just, I do feel the injustice of what's happening in our society right now, because I just had a very direct and crushing experience of it. So mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is coming out in my joke writing. But, you know, I actually want to, I want to write jokes about all kinds of things. I think my stand-up is a little bit less political than my Twitter. I guess one of the reasons why I feel compelled to like tweet about Bernie a lot is because I do think that there is this stereotype of the Bernie bro that seems mm-hmm. to be incredibly persistent. So mm-hmm. I like to tweet jokes about Bernie that have like a feminist take,
you know?
And I think that, I mean, I don't know how many people still believe in like the Bernie bro thing, but like, I feel like it's important to kind of get the perspective out there that there's like some feminist reasons for supporting Bernie. And
Completely.
Of course, like, I also just like writing jokes.
Yeah. You tweeted, and I think this was in November.
Yeah.
Right? You tweeted, I relate to Elizabeth Warren because when I say I have a plan for that, it also means I'll think about doing it in 3 years.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to tweet that?
I remember like she released her Medicare for All plan mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and I was mad that she wanted to pursue a public option before she pursued right. Medicare for All. So I was like feeling the fire and I tweeted a joke about that. Also that I was procrastinating on writing
Great.
Some
yes.
stuff that I
a
needed to
thing.
Be writing
mm-hmm.
at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it.
Like, yeah, I feel like a lot of my political jokes are like a mixture of like things that are going on for me internally and like how I like project them onto other political situations or candidates.
No, listen, I think you just nailed humanity.
Yeah.
and like how politics works. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not alone, but you can make a joke at her expense.
Yeah. But I mean, I to me, like, it felt like a betrayal, like, all right, well, she's not serious about pursuing this,
yeah.
you know, or it's not like at the forefront of her priorities, at least, you know?
So this tweet got very popular.
Yeah.
And it blew up. Many of your tweets do, not to brag, I'm with a Twitter celeb.
Yes.
And so this tweet blew up. You got a lot of responses to it.
Yes, I did.
Of the many comments under that tweet, there was one woman named Steph who tweeted, ugh, why is it that Bernie stans can't stop themselves from being pieces of shit? How did you feel when you read that?
I felt like it was a little over the top. It was like a mixture of like, I was like mad, but then I was also kind of, it felt unfair to me because like my joke was about Elizabeth Warren procrastinating. It was
to be fair, was something you identified with.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it was like, you know, I try to put some care into my jokes, even if I am making fun of like Warren or something, to like make sure that it's not misogynistic.
Yeah.
And I just, you
and
know,
you're like, procrastinating can be done by all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Procrastination for all.
Yeah.
For
that's a great platform to run on.
Yeah. So I don't know. It just felt like it wasn't quite the joke, the type of joke that would warrant being called a piece of shit. Like, I wasn't anti-Warren or anything.
Yeah.
I voted for Bernie in 2016, but I didn't really like him very much. I also was, like a lot of people online, I was kind of put off by all the yelling. And then I got a socialist boyfriend in 2018.
I like that it's just, you procured it.
No, yeah, I mean, actually what happened was, I had a fight with this like random other comic on the internet. He tweeted something about Hillary Clinton and I thought it was pretty sexist. So it really escalates. It goes into like the DMs and we are like, we're never talking again. Mm-hmm. So after that, one of his friends reached out mm-hmm. to me, who was another comic I knew from around. And mm-hmm. that guy, Raghav, we really like hit it off and ended up dating, mm-hmm. Which I thought was like really funny. I guess he wanted someone to debate with or whatever. And so we fell super in love. And then like about 6 months into our relationship, he got pretty severe depression, which was mm-hmm. something that he had struggled with for a while. Yeah. And he got, really down. He couldn't go to the doctor to yeah. get medicine or anything like that because he wasn't insured. He didn't have the money. And then he died from his depression.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's incredibly fucked up. It's one of the most fucked up, perhaps the most fucked up thing that's wow. ever happened. And seeing just the ways that our society failed him and just, you know, it like, I feel like in this situation, like it's impossible to say that the definitive reason that he died from depression was because he couldn't go to the doctor. But I know that when he was able to medicate his depression at a time when he did have access to medicine, it was, I don't know, he was just able to function a lot better. And he had some, you know, serious mental illness. And I do truly believe that he would be alive today if we had Medicare for All.
That moment with your boyfriend was what sparked the fire for you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I think by the time I dated him in like 2018, I was no longer like against Bernie, but I couldn't have seen myself becoming like a passionate Bernie supporter. So yeah. after he died, I became really good friends with a lot of his friends. And I feel like a big way that we have been just handling Raghav's death is to be, you know, very active in trying to get Bernie elected because we really believe in Medicare for All. Mm. You know, I think all of us feel like we just want to make sure that what happened to someone we really love doesn't happen to other people's friends, family. You know, it's just, it doesn't feel political anymore for me. It feels very real.
So you're about to talk to Steph. How are you feeling about that?
It feels a little nerve-wracking to talk to someone who I know may not like me or may have a lot of ideas about what I'm like or something. But I don't know. I guess I feel like a little bit optimistic that like, you know, I know she said in her bio that she was a feminist and like my hope is that like maybe if she finds out that I'm also a feminist and that we care about many of the same issues, that maybe she would feel less mad at me. I don't know.
Hello?
Hey, how are you?
Well, I just woke up like 4 minutes before you called.
Okay, yes. Welcome to the day.
Thank you. I set an alarm and I did not hear it in any way.
Listen, that's how it goes.
And I stayed up too late last night watching TV.
Love that you have just woken up this morning and we welcome you to the day. So, Steph, let's start here. Now it feels like performed. I ask this so much, but I'll try to make it fresh. Steph, in only as many details as you want to share with me and on this show, why don't you tell me about you, your life, your daily life, how you would describe yourself? Kind of take that question however you want to take it.
Okay. My name is Steph. I am 29. I live in the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania. I am a feminist, and I am a writer. My day job allows me to be an artist as well.
Incredible.
I watch too much TV. And in general, I wear many hats. None of them are literal hats because my head doesn't look good in them.
Good. But, good to know.
But yeah, I know. I think that covers
the gist.
The important bases. Yeah.
And you would call yourself a Warren supporter?
I am.
Yeah.
Yes.
As of this recording, subject to change, of course.
Yes, I am a Warren supporter. for most of this year, it's 2020 now, I forgot. For most of the last year.
Yeah, but also you can say all of this year so far.
Yes, in fact, for all of this year.
So let's kind of dig into the tweet. At the time that Kate tweeted that, what was your relationship to her?
I followed Kate soon after I joined Twitter. I joined Twitter for an online journalism class that I was taking. It was a requirement. A lot of what that was like following news organizations, but my sister was on Twitter and she was like, oh, hey, follow this person. She's very funny. So she sent me like one of her tweets and then I was like, oh, hey, it is funny. So I followed her.
Confirmed funny. Great.
Yes. And that was really it. I just followed her. I don't really have a super active Twitter life. Like, I don't have a following or anything. I'm just a regular person.
I'm following you now. So I count myself as part of your following. So don't knock us, please.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I like to tweet about things that are important to me, but also about TV.
Important to do
that's
that.
That's how I roll. So that's my Twitter feed, essentially, is TV shows and my hot takes about them, and political things.
Which is what brings us to this beautiful call today, what added me to your wonderful following, what makes me a proud member of your following, is that Kate Willett tweeted a political joke, a jab, if you will, and how does seeing it make you feel?
What I had personally been dealing with at that time was that for some reason, the algorithms decided that my Twitter was just going to be full of like people who were hardcore Bernie supporters. And unfortunately, Kate's tweet was like my breaking point.
Kate's tweet was your breaking point. Why do you think that was the case?
A little bit. I think that it's because it's someone that I chose to follow. And someone that for, you know, however many years I've been on Twitter was like enjoying her Twitter presence. And then to have that kind of negativity that I really associate with Bernie supporters be posed in that way really just, it was like the last straw.
Yeah. So you reach your breaking point and you see this tweet and then you tweet, ugh, why is it that Bernie stans can't stop themselves from being pieces of shit? So what made you want to vocalize those thoughts on Twitter?
It's not just about being a Warren follower, what have you, but just about the general future of the Democratic Party and just the political nightmare that we're living. I just don't see it as necessary to tear down in such a way the only other truly progressive candidate. So I was just over it at that point. And a lot of the time when I reply to things on Twitter, I feel like it's shouting into the void.
Mm-hmm.
So when I returned to it and saw that it had created a lot of responses, that was shocking. People then responded to me in an overwhelmingly negative fashion. I got ratioed.
Okay. which to explain to anyone who doesn't know, it means, you know, getting more negative comments than likes on a tweet.
What? I was like, what?
Yeah, it's like you're shouting into the void and then sometimes the void reverberates and echoes and then everyone hears it and they're like, whoa, I got to say something about that echo I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you know, you mention you're seeing vitriol for a candidate and then you then responded with vitriol. From the outside, it looks like a infighting again, but of course you had complicated, nuanced feelings that you were trying to express, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Yes, very much. And those feelings were of like, oh, Bernie supporters are aggressive. And then I said something that was aggressive also, but then the response to that was also aggressive.
Yeah.
And it almost proved my point to myself about Bernie supporters.
Yeah, it's one of these challenging things. We identify the things we don't like, and then unwittingly we end up doing that thing that we don't like. And then it just kind of, you're combating the bad and then you add more bad. And then you're like, oh, I didn't mean to add more bad, but now the bad is coming at me in a disproportionate way. So it's this very weird place to have a conversation. What happened after you tweeted that in response? Did you mute the thread? What happened?
I think I unfollowed her immediately after that. Because I was just like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. I felt a certain level of betrayal almost, I guess. Because I feel like sometimes you exist in the world and you forget that you can agree with people on so many things and then still disagree on something important.
Well, I think that's actually kind of confoundingly who we disagree with the hardest.
Weirdly, I think of Bernie Sanders as just someone who's just like, so he's got like a lot of anger, which is fair because there are many things to be angry about. And I identify with that a lot because I'm always angry. I always have a level of just like constant simmering rage that's beneath the surface.
Yes.
And it really motivates me in my life. and I identified with that in 2016. I voted for Bernie in the primary in 2016.
Okay.
But Elizabeth Warren presents things in a different way that, to me, she just inspires me.
You said there's a constant simmering rage just beneath the surface for you. If you even can identify it, what is the source of that simmering rage?
Like in high school, I would say like that was just my persona. Like, that's Steph, she's angry all the time. As teenagers often are.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a persona that I almost cultivated a little bit. But also actual anger and depression, although didn't realize at the time. But
well, there's always a lot of funny building blocks that go into our personas, right? It's like one, who we're reacting against, and also what we're rewarded for. Like in college, I was rewarded in a big way for being like the funny gay kid, and so looking back, it's like, whoa, I really was everyone's little clown, you know? But I'm aware that I did that because I was incentivized to do it. Was there any way that you were like kind of incentivized for anger, maybe from your friends or something else?
Maybe. I feel like one of my things is that I don't talk very much in certain group settings. I'm, you know, sort of a classic introvert in that sense. But then sometimes when I do say things, I end up being funny and then I get laughter in response. And I feel like that could definitely be part of that. It just works for me in so many ways because I was angry. Presenting as angry kept me sort of invisible. Like it helped me fly under the radar a little bit, but it also was like it would protect me if for some reason my flying under the radar thing didn't work. I just wanted to be smart. That was, I feel like, you know, we all do, but I was like, you know, I wanted to be angry and smart and angry because I know things.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like the apathy is a way that it's like, all right, nothing can bother me because I just don't care enough for it to bother me.
I get that. And it's a really good protective shield, you know, because if nothing can bother you enough to care, then no one can hurt you, which is something that I feel certainly, or we all have our shields. I don't think mine is apathy. I think it's perhaps something else. Maybe it's this podcast, which literally started as a coping mechanism to deal with people saying negative things about me. And now here we are, many episodes into it, 3 years down the line, and we all have our strange little coping mechanisms. So you are about to talk to Kate for the first time. How are you feeling?
I'm excited the word that came to mind was hash things out, but I feel like that's not what this is.
This is whatever you want to do. You can hash it out.
Hi.
Hi.
Stay right there. We'll be right back.
If you like this podcast and you want to help support it directly, you can check out our merch store. We have brand new shirts that say empathy is not endorsement, a mantra I've made for the show, and stickers that say what I say at the end of every episode, remember there's a human on the other side of the screen. Also, there's a shirt that has Rob Wilson's beautiful logo for our show on it. Check it all out at www.conversationswithpeoplewhohateme.com and click on merch. All right, let's get back to the conversation. Kate, how are you feeling about this call?
All of a sudden, I felt like very nervous.
You feel nervous?
Yeah.
Why?
All of a sudden, it like set in.
Yeah. What? When did it set in? When the call rang?
Yeah.
Oh, don't be nervous. This is a great and loving place. Steph, how are you feeling?
Good and fine, I guess.
Are you part of the nervous train? We welcome it. You know, I'll join on too now that Kate brought it up.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So before we kind of get into it, I would love for you to get to know each other. So Kate, why don't you kick it off and tell Steph a little about you, what she might not know.
Okay. I'm a stand-up comic.
In this part of the call, Kate and Steph get to know each other. But to avoid repetition, since you've just heard this stuff, I'm going to speed you up to the part where they start talking about finances.
I'm trying to think. Here's Kate. You know, I don't have a lot of money. I am somebody who, I mean, like, I'm not like super poor, but I'm definitely not like doing amazing economically. Like, I for sure, like, have struggles in that way right now. Hopefully not forever, but like, being a stand-up comic is not necessarily a lucrative profession, even if you've been on TV a lot of times. Yeah. I mean, like, I just did Colbert. I have a special on Netflix, and it's still like kind of hard to make a living at comedy, and like I'm you know, things are coming along.
I also don't have a lot of money, and currently I am staying at my mom's house because I tried to live on my own in an apartment and I couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
So for the next few months I will be sleeping in a living room, but I do have prospects to get out of here, so that's exciting.
As someone who has slept on many couches, I stan a couch sleeping queen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Steph, a couch sleeping queen.
The couch is actually super uncomfortable, so I sleep in a recliner.
Oh, good.
Okay. Well, this is good.
And I am safe and, you know, warm and stuff. So
safe and warm.
I can't complain too much.
Love. So let's get down to this this lovely Twitter experience we're here to talk about. You know, Kate, you shared with Steph a little earlier about what really activated you to Bernie, right? A boyfriend who you believe would, or not you believe, who would still be alive today if he had access.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he struggled with depression for a long time, and I believe that if he had been able to medicate his depression, he'd still be here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it would be impossible to make a definitive claim that he absolutely
totally.
Still would.
I get it.
But when I can say when he was on the medicine that was working for him and he had access to the doctor, he was doing a lot better than he was at the end of his life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, man, I don't know. I feel that there's no other candidate that's running that shares my values as much as Bernie does, specifically on Medicare for all. I feel like even though there's other people that do support universal health care, he feels the most committed to Medicare for all. And that's the most important issue to me.
You know, universal health care is also very important to me. I lived without health insurance for, I think, 6 years. I was able to get health insurance again through ACA when the marketplace first opened. I was able to get an amazing plan that was very affordable. And then, of course, the next year, I was able to get a plan that was less affordable. And then there was nothing. Fortunately, I was able to get healthcare through my job because I have, you know, a number of health issues that I've had to, you know, seek treatment for, including mental health issues. And I actually wanted to ask, and I don't know, Kate, if you would be, you know, you don't have to answer, but the person that you're talking about, was it a suicide?
No, I don't think so. So he was talking about suicide a lot around the time that he died, but I think to medicate his depression, he kind of turned to alcohol and was drinking a lot in the last couple weeks of his life. And one night he drank too much. And I think that's how he died. I think that's the information that I have. I mean, I don't actually know 100% for sure because, you know, that was what his family passed along. But, you know, I don't know for sure. It's not like I talked to the doctor myself or something like that. Yeah. I think that there's something about Bernie's anger that resonates with me now, actually. Like, when I used to see him yell in, like, 2016, I felt like, oh, my God, like, why is this guy so mad? But then, like, now that I've had this, like, really terrible thing happen, like, I feel like he is actually yelling on my behalf, you know? Like, he's yelling because, like, I can't yell. I mean, I can a little bit, like on Twitter or something, but like, he's like, his anger is like, it's anger on my behalf now, you know? And I can't help but thinking like that's how a lot of people feel about him.
Yeah. That's something that used to resonate with me with Bernie. Like, I am inherently just an angry person. Like, I just carry a lot of anger around with me every day. And now one of the reasons possibly that I kind of switched my preferred candidates from Bernie to Warren is that I felt like it's possible that there's something more productive than that righteous anger. And I think that that might be Elizabeth Warren's approach. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that, you know, as you said, obviously, like, it's not directed at me specifically, but I just kept seeing those takes about how people who don't support Bernie are people who aren't poor or people who don't care about healthcare or people who, you know, whatever. And I was like, but I am poor. I do care about healthcare. So, you know, those felt like, I guess, misguided attacks. And it just, you know, it seemed like that was where the divisiveness was coming from that side.
I think the part of the reason, like, I got mad at you is because, like, I'm, like, tired of being told that, like, Bernie supporters are, like, especially bad or something. Like, I can certainly empathize with the experience of, like, bad online supporters. And I really used to think that Bernie's supporters were particularly bad. Like, in 2016, I had, like, a lot of Bernie bro jokes. And I actually regret those jokes now because I get yelled at by supporters of other candidates all the time. So I've really started to think that people are just mean on the internet, and that it has, especially to women, and that it has nothing to do with the supporters of any particular candidate. I just think that people are jerks online a lot of the time. And I don't know, you know? So I think, like, when I saw you say that to me, there was a righteous response on my end of it too, which is like, hey, look, like, Bernie people are not the only folks calling people names on this internet. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody is actually being bad to each other, you know?
And you responded to Steph's tweet.
Yeah, I did. I said that, like, I don't remember what exactly I said, but I think I, like, tweeted it and I said, like, I like Elizabeth Warren, but her supporters are bad or something. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I mean, I was, like, kind of, like, being really snarky about it. And I actually do regret that because it's like, I don't want to get in fights with people online or whatever, but I think it was just all day I was, like, being told that I was, like, bad for supporting Bernie because Bernie supporters are harassing bros, and I was being told this by people who were being mean to me. So it just started to feel like a very, like, pot kettle situation, and then I got righteously indignant about it. Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously, like, I shouldn't have said what I said either. Like, I feel like it's so obvious, you know, and it was an outsized response to what you had said. And, like, when I had one of my friends, like, look at the exchange, you know, without providing context first, she was like, what the fuck, Steph? Like, that's not an appropriate response at all. And I was like, oh, you are correct. Sorry. Like, that, I was like, oh, no, that you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. This is the problem, like, is that context is so important, but the internet does not provide it. I also never expected you personally to really, like, see it or notice it just because of, like, the I feel like the volume of responses that were there. And furthermore, I definitely never expected for people to respond to me, which is what happened. A lot of people commented to my reply. And then those same people also like went into my timeline or into my
feed,
Twitter feed, yeah, whatever the terminology is, and then responded to other posts that I had made. And I was like, well, get out of here. What are you doing?
I totally get that. And I shouldn't have responded to you. I didn't really think that through. Like, I'm not actually used to having like a large Twitter following, and like, I don't want things like that to happen. I don't like it. And so I'm not going to quote tweet someone ever again, unless it's like somebody else who, you know, has kind of like put themselves out there as like a public person already, you know, mm-hmm. like a journalist or whatever. Or perhaps if it's like a really sexist guy saying awful shit to women, then whatever, I don't care. But yeah, I don't like that that happened. And I definitely like learned from the experience that I can't like at this point, like fight people on Twitter without expecting that some third parties will get involved. I used to be able to, but at this point that would be not kind or responsible. So I'm sorry about that.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I also will, you know, be more careful about what I'm saying, because that's my thing. I really use Twitter as like a shouting into the void kind of thing, but it's like, oh, it's not the void. There are people in there.
Then the void shouts back. So
exactly. Yeah. And you know, the void has human emotions also, as it turns out. So I guess,
well, the void is like weirdly populated by humans. That's the weird thing about social media.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, I don't know, man, because you know, I've had times like during this election season where I feel like I am being constructive and stuff, and then I've also had times where I've like just been shitty. Like, I'm grieving someone that I really love and I miss him, and I don't know, man. I have really strong feelings about this stuff. And like every once in a while, like I have like looked at my Twitter and been like, ah, Kate, you know, you can like not, like there have been times when I'm like, no, it's not constructive for me to like get mad online. Like, I'm adding to something that I don't think will help anything. But at the same time, like this feels like the biggest deal to me in the world right now is like making sure that everyone gets healthcare, especially, you know, like it just, I've like put a lot of my feelings about missing Raghav into this. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to say that like 100% of everything I've ever said has been like from like the most rational place in the world.
Yeah.
Steph, is there a way that you process pain online?
So I want to kind of go off on a slightly different thing, because I just feel like now's the time.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why it's like, I swear healthcare is important to me, is that when I was 16, my dad died. And, you know, with whatever money there was in the aftermath of that from, you know, I don't know, his pension, like, I don't even know what money that was exactly. Mm-hmm. My mom had to use that money, a very large portion of it, to secure health insurance for herself and for me for the next couple of years. And it was like just an obscene amount of money that had to go toward that. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why, like, when people say like, if you don't support Bernie, you don't support healthcare, why I'm like, I assure you that's not the case. But what I wasn't going to mention, but now I feel is very relevant to me and Kate understanding each other, mm-hmm. is that my dad died by suicide. Mm. So I very, very deeply understand, you know, the kind of pain that comes from someone not having access to mental health care or not utilizing that. You know, personally, I think that a lot of it is to do with the way that society treats men, and having that be as a result of how society treats women, which is that, you know, be a man, don't deal with your feelings. Mm. That is what leads, I think, to the high suicide rate among men. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if that wasn't how, you know, the person that you lost died specifically, it sounds like mental health was a huge factor. So I absolutely understand where you're coming from. That was what I've been like trying to, you know, articulate really since Kate talked about, you know, the fact that it was a mental health was a factor.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear about your dad. That's incredibly messed up. And I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. And I believe you that you care about healthcare. I can see why, especially having been through all of that, it would feel super bad to have people tell you that you don't care about something that actually is really important to you. Yeah, I think it helps me too to like understand that there like are Elizabeth Warren supporters that are, you know, just for whatever reason don't believe that Bernie Sanders like can get the job done or whatever. And that like, even though I disagree with that assessment, you know, but I think I could be sometimes a little bit more generous in my assumptions about what's motivating people.
Yeah. And I, just to be fair, you know, Kate, I don't think that the internet totally encourages us to be fair in our assessments yeah. of what's going on with other people.
It really doesn't. Like, I just, yeah. It's funny that you say that because, like, it does suck. Like, it sucks. It just sucks. Like, that's the only phrasing that you can really use. And, you know, what happened to, you know, the person that you lost also sucks. And it seems like that is, you know, a really recent thing. And I know how different it is when it's kind of fresh. And it's really hard because, like, part of me is like, I hate people. I just hate people so much. In general, I'm like, oh, get away from me. But at the same time, I love humanity. And just seeing the humanity in people is so important. And the internet is not a great place for that. Mm-hmm. It can be. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is one of the things that's positive about it. But the way that we overwhelmingly interact with a large number of people is that we are not seeing their humanity.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that there are some systems online that are specifically designed so that we don't see people's humanity. Mm-hmm. And it's a dark world.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What this larger conversation seems to be about is what we do with our anger and how we respond to other people expressing that anger for us. But then there's also the second level of anger, because it's like you are gravitating towards a candidate who expresses anger in the way that is appropriate to you, right?
Yeah.
Bernie, to you,
yeah.
Kate, is like, he is the right amount of angry for a thing that he deserves to be angry about. And Steph, it seems like you're attracted to the way Elizabeth Warren activates and expresses her anger. What do you say?
Yeah.
The interesting thing, though, is that anger ricochets against each other.
Yeah.
On the internet.
Yeah, definitely. People talk about like echo chambers, you know, of ideas, but I think that a lot of the time it's an echo chamber of just anger.
Yeah.
Like rage just bouncing around off of the walls and
yeah.
just getting bigger and scarier.
I agree with that. And I wanted to point out something that has been so fascinating as, you know, I'm listening to you two talk, which is like, all we are to each other are punching bags.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you take your anger at a systemic macro thing out on the system? Well, you can't. You can't take your anger out on a system. So instead, you pick a person who has tweeted a joke about Elizabeth Warren, or you pick a person who has tweeted something in response to that joke, and then you retweet that person. But it's like, that's I think, like the core of this very discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steph, were you about to say something?
No, I was just agreeing.
Okay, great.
I feel like there's something about the way that I say yeah that makes people think I'm going to say stuff.
No. You just took a breath afterward. I actually feel very excited
oh,
by
no,
it. It's like,
all the time.
No, it's good. It's like, yeah. And then I'm thinking and it's like, yes, complex mind, go off queen. If someone were to look at the interaction you two had on Twitter and just say, see, point to it and say, see, the left is doomed. Do you think that's a fair read?
Because I don't really think that what happens on Twitter or whatever is representative of like the coalition building and the activism that's happening in real life most people aren't on Twitter.
Steph, do you still think that Bernie stans are pieces of shit?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I think that there are certain individuals who probably need to cool it. but calling people pieces of shit is, you know, not a fair assessment.
Are you in any way convinced that there are people who support every candidate who need to cool it?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, I wish that there were some way to reconcile the Bernie and Warren thing, because as a coalition, we would be unstoppable, I feel. But I realistically, in our just the way that our political system works, I don't know how we would possibly have that happen.
Maybe the left can unite.
Maybe the left.
But the bad news is you have to do it, Dylan.
Through this show?
Yeah. Like,
through every member of the...
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe the left can unite. We have a lot of work to do. Well, I mean, I have to say, I think I do feel like one of those people who does lose a little hope when I see fights like that break out on Twitter. And not because I'm casting any judgment on either person, you know, like this whole podcast has shown me that everyone has this very nuanced backstory for why they're saying what they're saying, as you both have proven today. But it does make me lose a little hope, but then something like this makes me completely gain it back in this really beautiful way. Do you know what I mean? I just think I understand that, you know, you could say that Twitter isn't real life. I argue that it is real life, but it's a different prism. It's life through a kind of funhouse mirror. But I mean, we can at least acknowledge that this conversation that we had today is profoundly different from the one that was had on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So to wrap things up, are there any final things you want to say either to each other or to the void, knowing that the void is, you know, populated by humans?
It's been a pleasure talking to you. Yeah, it's been really illuminating, and I think that I'm going to stop assuming that Elizabeth Warren supporters don't care about healthcare. I think that, you know, I even though I don't agree that Elizabeth Warren's approach is likely to work, but I also think that I'm probably wrong when I think that, you know, Elizabeth Warren supporters are not valuing that issue.
This has just been a really good conversation. And I feel like these conversations are what's missing from life, I guess. It's, you know, just the idea that we can talk about things and we can understand other people's perspectives. And it's not anonymous. Like, as much as the internet is anonymous, it's not really. Like, there's someone back there, you know, behind it. And, you know, there are trolls out there and people who just want to start shit. But I think that is more rare than it's just people just trying to live their lives, and just to, you know, keep that in mind as we live our interweb lives. And, you know, if you would unblock me on Twitter, then I would follow you again.
I'll follow you back, and I promise I will never quote tweet you again, even if you express to Bernie supporters or
pieces of
shit.
Was there a blocking that happened?
I think I blocked her. I don't remember, but I will absolutely unblock you.
And unblock.
You know, it was really good to connect with you. I feel that we agree on more things than not. And, you know, I've been thinking recently that I don't want to just make fun of political stuff. I am trying to get back to some good old-fashioned jokes about men as well. So hopefully I will have some content that makes you happier.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes, and I will not say mean things about Bernie or his supporters. I will just tweet about TV and and political things.
Listen, my goal here is not to eradicate negativity. I think negativity and dissent, its more mature cousin, is very necessary online. So I don't want to eradicate it. It's I think my only goal is to see what conversations can sprout from it. You know what I mean?
I think that's a great goal.
Yeah, I just mean like mean things. I can still say, you know, reasoned arguments are still on the table, but just being mean is probably, is not good.
Well, here we are just galloping off into the sunset all together. Well, I just want to say a huge thank you to both of you. I know it takes a lot of energy and some anxiety to come on this show and have these conversations, but I just think this was amazing. So thank you both so much for taking the time to do
this.
Thank
you, Dylan.
Thank you. This has been a, really unique and great experience that I didn't see coming.
Listen.
Same thing. Went so much better than I thought it might. It
okay,
was awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
What about for you? Better than you thought, Steph?
Yeah, definitely. And more than I ever would have expected from me, doing my shouting into the void on Twitter.
Like I said.
It's good to remember that the void is not a void at all.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
The void is not a void.
The void is not a void at all, honey. Steph, copyright you, babe.
Yeah.
that's incredible. All right. Well, thank you both so much for doing this. And with that, I'll hang up and we'll all see each other on the internet. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Bye, Steph.
Bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to be a guest on this show or have an idea for an episode, please visit www.conversationswithpeoplewhohateme.com for more information. Conversations with People Who Hate Me is a production of Night Vale Presents. Christy Gressman is the executive producer. Vincent Cascione is the sound engineer and mixer. Emily Newman and Mark Stoll are the associate producers. The theme song is These Dark Times by Caged Animals. The logo was designed by Philip Blackowl with a photo by Mindy Tucker. And this podcast was created, produced, and hosted by me, Dylan Marin. Special thanks to Adam Cecil and our publicist, Megan Larson. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode, but until then, remember, there's a human on the other side of the screen.
Racing through these dark times, and it's hard to take it, but we're gonna make it through these dark times, make it through these dark times, make it through these dark times.